Welcome to Everywhere and Nowhere, a Sheffield Wednesday podcast brought to you by The Star, with Joe Cran and Alex Miller, and your host, Chris Holt. A few weeks ago, optimism was pouring out of Hillsborough, with Jim that Wednesday would drag themselves out of the relegation mire. Since then, transfer windows closed and the team has suffered some very damaging defeats. And all of a sudden, that optimism has been squeezed out with the fear of the drop once again looming large. Everywhere and Nowhere is back to look over the past week in S6 and ahead to what is an absolutely crucial clash with Birmingham City on Friday night. I'm Chris Holt and joining me are Alex Miller from what I've written down here, what is, I'm sure, a salubrious hotel, since found out is not the case at all in Coventry. And Joe Cran, also fresh from reporting on another heavy loss on Tuesday night. Like I said, lads, there's not an awful lot to be smiling about, and you can tell that by your faces.
No, it's not been a fun couple of weeks, has it?
No, we will start. Alex, do you want to complain about your hotel publicly, or do you just want to wait and send them a...
I'll save it for the strongly worded email that the chain of hotels that will, at the minute, remain unnamed.
Off the list.
Name them if you want.
I'll wait to see what they come back with, and then I'll get my excuse me. I'm a social media influencer.
Do you know who I am?
Yeah, and then I'll just get Joe to tweet it with his masses of followers.
Yeah, all my South African guys going, right, we need to have a word of this hotel.
Yeah, I'm definitely not staying in that hotel that rhymes with Britannia. Anyway, right, I'll tell you what we're going to start. It's been a rough couple of days on the pitch, so we're going to kick off with that. We'll go back to Saturday. Which I still find absolutely bizarre. I watched the first half of the match before I had to go out and found out about an hour and a half later that Wednesday had been absolutely torn apart and capitulated. What happened, Alex?
It's a good question. And a few days on, I'm not entirely sure myself. I think Wednesday have got this habit of midway through the second half conceding goals and not scoring them. And it's interesting trying to work out why that's the case. I think particularly away from home, they can leave themselves a little bit open as they're trying to impact the game and trying to go on and win the game. And it seemed like that was the case on Saturday. I think the first goal was from a set piece. And that really, really turned the game. Anthony Masaba was up against Matty Pearson. Anyone that's seen those two play can fill in answers on a postcard as to why that matchup was sort of happened. Whether it was deliberate or not, Danny Rell didn't really answer the question on that after the game. And from there, I think Wednesday sort of opened up a little bit. And I mean, 4 goals in 12 minutes, it was just... carnage, really, the way that Huddersfield came on. I think they got in behind twice, didn't they? Wednesday continued playing the high line. And it's concerning because it happened again last night as well. 3 goals in 8 minutes. I think the 3 goals in 22 minutes at Southampton. So the last three away games, really, in the blink of an eye, all three matches have been well and truly taken away from them. The fact is that they've conceded 12 in the... in 3 recent away games. So, 1 for Danny Rill and his coaching staff to try and work out, I think.
Joe, I'm not trying to turn on the manager here, and I know that he's very popular, and I know that, people do see him as being the man who can lift Wednesday eventually. At some point, however, there has to be a realization that whatever he is doing is not working, and there has to be some kind of change to prevent this these capitulations from happening. We've seen they're conceding goals one after another. The heads have gone completely, seemingly. And it's not even just as heads have gone. They just seem all over the place. A couple of the goals last night, I can't remember which one it was, but basically just ran through. Like, ran through the midfield, ran through the defence, slotted it in, and nobody was doing anything. No, there was nobody taking any responsibility to put a tackle in. Nobody taking any responsibility to just cut off any space for him to run into. And at some stage, and like I say, I don't want to come down too heavily on the manager because he is the very least of Sheffield Wednesday's worries at this stage. At some stage, there has to be some level of criticism against him, hasn't there?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, obviously, no one's against criticism. I think the problem that Wednesday have got for a large part was it almost felt for a long time that Wednesday were performing above themselves. And I think that he was getting so much more out of them than it felt like should have been possible. And now that level has sort of dropped. I mean, you look at last night and... yes, it was 1-1 at half time, but Coventry were by far the better side. The result come the end was kind of where we expected it to go. It's the nature of how they conceded. You know, if they conceded four over the course of a game, I'm not saying it would have been better, it would have still been a horrible result. But it's how it just like goal after goal after goal in such a short space of time. It's almost like, you know, we spoke about it in years before, sort of pre-Darren Moore, how Wednesday would just collapse. We saw it so many times in so many games. I was talking about the Luton match and the relegation season before when Wednesday lost 3-2 there after being 2-0 up and just completely falling apart to lose 3-2. And that felt like the day that Wednesday got relegated to me. And I think the Huddersfield game felt like that. That was the, you know, in every year you have, in every relegation season, there's always a game when you think, oh yeah, that's it. Now we can start to make peace with what's going to happen next. And yeah, that felt like that one to me. And I just think the worry is that, and me and Alex were speaking about this last night, Danny worked so hard to pick the boys up and get them back into things. And now I think that the concern is he going to be able to do that again after what's just happened with the Huddersfield game? Because that was so big, considering the proximity between the two teams and what that result means for the league table. To pick them back up for that is going to be incredibly difficult. And yes, last night was a cup game, but it still follows a sort of pattern. So that doesn't help that it was a cup game. It doesn't help that it was a second string side. But yeah, a lot of soul searching to do for Danny, I think. And obviously, it goes without saying, the Birmingham game is another game that Wednesday have to try and get something out of.
I think it's worth saying with just to follow on what Joe said there about Danny and getting more out of the squad, particularly in that busy Christmas period. Than perhaps many were expecting. I think it's worth saying in the two collapses, if you like, Huddersfield and last night against Coventry, they're very different in how they went about it tactically. As I said, you know, at Huddersfield, they were very open in conceding that sort of swell of goals. And then last night, Wednesday was sort of very deep, and it was the quality of Coventry that got the goals. In that little period.
They were a very different quality of goal, weren't they?
Yeah. I mean, they were completely different goals altogether. You know, Huddersfield got them behind and Coventry just had enough to sort of create that little bit of space for themselves and put on the finish that was good enough to beat Piers Charles. So, I think it's worth saying, and look, like Joe said, no one's infallible. No one's beyond critique, even by idiots like us that probably don't quite know what we're talking about. That there's a reason that Danny Rowles chosen to come to Sheffield Wednesday and start his managerial journey at a club like Wednesday. And I think it's those in-game decisions and how he goes about certain things that he's learning. Everything else, more or less, he's done before in his assistant role. The analysis, the preparation, standing up in front of a group of players, the training ground stuff. But it's those crunch in-game decisions and being able to stop a charge such as those in the last couple of games, regardless of how blunt his tools may or may not be, and he's sort of hinted at that a little bit as well. But yeah, he's learning on the job, and I think that should probably be acknowledged.
I've seen a few people talk about a weak mentality, which again is something that has basically been used as a stick to beat Sheffield Wednesday players with for probably around, I don't know, 5 or 6 years now, at least. But this is a completely new team. You know, this isn't the same team as was 4, 5, 6 years ago. So there's no correlation there. There's no way you can say they're still weak because managers have changed, personnel have changed. But it did seem like there was a weakness in the team over the past couple of games where they couldn't cope with periods of incessant pressure. And that is something that you're going to have to deal with because, whether you like it or not, there's a lot of teams much, much better than Sheffield Wednesday, and they're going to put Sheffield Wednesday, particularly the defence and the midfield, under a lot of pressure in the coming games. And that's something that they're going to, that he's going to have to deal with. As you say, Alex, Joe said that he's managed to rally them at certain stages to kind of lift them back up, and we saw some results. But you can't keep doing that, can you? You can't keep having to do that.
This is my sort of fear now that Wednesday have so quickly adopted this high intensity, and he speaks about his demands and all this sort of stuff. To go from Cisco ball, if that's what we want to call it, to the way that Danny's going about it, you know, it takes a demand on the body and on the mind as well. And remember all that chatter about Marcelo Bielsa and Leeds and what happens at the end of the season. And you throw in a pitch that, from what we can gather, is causing problems in terms of the players' bodies. And yeah, it all adds up to nerves, really, as to how Wednesday can sort of rally themselves and go again. I think personally, looking at last night, I'm it's difficult not to after a 4-1 defeat, but I don't read a great deal into last night. I think it was kids and bit parts that are probably pretty low on
my you wouldn't do if they hadn't shipped four a couple of days previous. I think
there were 9 changes. It was a completely different side against a full strength Coventry, who have barely lost since Halloween. And do you know what I mean? I really don't. Whether they'd won 4-0 or lost 4-0, that side last night was basically put out there not to lose, but to rest up for a far more important engagement on Friday. And I know exactly what you're saying, but at the same time, I don't think Wednesday will be looking into too much minute detail over it, if you know what I mean.
Okay. Last week, we weren't here last week because we weren't here with the podcast, at least, because there was a match, and then we were straight into transfer deadline day, which proved to be absolutely chaotic, which... Let's face it, is peak Wednesday. Let's run the rule over the window as a whole, Joe. They ended up with a couple of players on deadline day. There was another player who they clearly wanted, so much so that he spent the afternoon sitting in the Sheffield Hotel.
Please don't make me talk about Duncan Maguire.
Yeah, well, there's no point talking too much about it. I mean, the poor lad at the minute doesn't actually have a club to play for, unless that's changed. But from what I can gather, the registration hasn't gone through with Blackburn, certainly from what I've seen. But we'll talk about how Wednesday ended up, and do you think that they are any better off now than they were when the window opened at the start of January?
I wouldn't say they were better off personally. I think numerically, they're, I think, slightly better off, or even maybe. But in terms of the players that they've brought in, it's obviously some unknown quantities, like Pervaded. We, you know, heard very good things about him. Alex can probably tell you a bit more. He's got people who've seen him play a few more times. Pedersen obviously has come in and look, baptism of fire by all accounts against Huddersfield. It was a tough game for someone to come into, especially having not played in so long. But I think that the concerning thing for Wednesday has been and will be the fact that Danny clearly didn't get who he wanted. There was players that Wednesday tried to get who he didn't get. And these two deals got done on the last day, just as a case of we need to try and get more bodies in. And it didn't really feel with so much of Wednesday's window that they were getting their way, getting what they actually wanted. And that's obviously a problem. Danny was increasingly frustrated with what was going on. It was, you know, it was clear to see on his face whenever we spoke to him during that period how sort of annoyed he was at the whole scenario. And I just don't think I think Wednesday needed to pick up players that were substantially better than what they had. And I'm not sure that they've managed to do that, if I'm honest.
Alex, anybody in their right mind couldn't describe us as Chancery apologists. However, he came under a bit of stick because of those deals that Joe said there that kind of didn't go over the line. It is unfair to suggest they automatically think that it was because he wasn't given enough money or he wasn't putting his hand in his pocket, whatever. There are a whole lot of moving parts in these kinds of deals that mean that it becomes difficult to do sometimes, and ultimately you miss out.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's difficult to know exactly what's popping off in these deals, but the idea that Real wasn't backed, I don't know, is the honest answer. I think, look, if Chancery had gone, is 10 million quid, get us out of this hole. You know, it would have been a different kettle of spuds, but deals for Connor Coventry and Mika BRF were very, very close. Very close. So you've got to think that financial terms were pretty much agreed, certainly in outline terms. Money was put down for Duncan Maguire. We know that there's a scepticism out there, perhaps, that we've been duped, and it's a, without going into it, I think the mechanics of how we found out about that and all the rest of it just doesn't add up that it was some sort of chess play from the club.
It'd have to be very convoluted for it to have been that way, wouldn't it?
Yeah, an absolute mastermind move from Depon Chancery, who, yeah, we'll just sort of leave that one there. So, I don't know is the really honest answer. I think ultimately Wednesday got deals in place that they were very confident of along the way, with players that I think would have made a big difference. And at the last minute, they weren't able to get those deals over the line. So without being in those rooms, we won't know where the blame, if any, lies. I think with Connor Coventry, it obviously there's alarm bells that they missed out to a League One side. There's factors there, including guarantees of game time and the geography of it. I mean, that's one that you look at and you go, well, you want to get that one over the line. Charlton are really struggling in League One, and there's a rebuild going on there, and he went to his ex-manager, but that's one. Mika Beerith, they were keen on and had spent a lot of time on in terms of preparation. And Sturm Graz sort of wandered in, and you look at that, an Austrian side, title challenging. He said himself that, you know, he's going to get lots of chances to score, and that would be better for his development. Again, you know, could more have been done to sort of sway him towards this is the championship at a big club and you can make your name here and head back to Arsenal as a competitor. So, yeah, and there's other deals as well that I think, you know, none of us ever got wind of that they tried for, but certainly those two were very, very close. Yeah, all in all, very, very frustrating. I'm quite excited about Jan Poveda. I've got a lot of mates who are Leeds fans. I watched him a couple of times, albeit in youth football, what feels like a very long time ago. And yeah, I remember him in a game for Man City under 21s or 23s at that point, in the same team as sort of Jadon Sancho and Fizz Galibashiru, ironically. And he was one of the better players on the pitch, you know, in a Manchester derby and stuff. So he's certainly got a bit of talent. It's just whether it can be honed. And with Josh Windass out for a little while, I think Jan Poveda could be really important over the next month or two.
Alex, sticking with you, you spoke to analyst TW Football 1867. I had to double check his Twitter handle there. Last week around about the types of players that Sheffield Wednesday should be going for, as Danny Royal revealed to us that they were indeed looking in the free agent market. Has there been any movement on that, do you think? How long do you leave it for a start? Do you just keep going until you hopefully get one?
Yeah, look, Wednesday have too many players for the 25-man squad. And I think Joe's the man to speak to on this because he spoke to Danny last night about the squad list and how he intends to to sort of work that. In terms of free agents, I haven't heard anything concrete in terms of names, or I think it was heavily alluded to that they're after a striker. The work that TW did on some of those players, I think there's a Brazilian central midfielder called Mateus Rosetto. The way he was talking about it, I think I'd put the money down myself. It was really exciting the way that. So it seems like from people that know better than us that there are players out there. I think people look at the free agent market and just think, well, if they're not signed up to a team outside of the transfer window, they're not going to be any good. But the way that football's going now and looking at other markets like MLS when the contracts end at a different time, there are opportunities out there, and it's just a case of how heavily Wednesday sort of invests in whether that can improve their squad that much. You know, there's not if it's going to take them 2 or 3 weeks to get match sharp and all the rest of it. But yeah, we'll certainly keep digging around and trying to find if there's any names that they're talking to.
Gary Medine is available. Just putting that out there.
Gary Medine is available. That is correct.
Tilcran, don't know why I give you a full name there. Because I just happened to read it as I looked down at you. Alex, you spoke to Danny last night about this could be a complicated thing. If you could just explain to us the squad list and what would have to happen and what needs to be done if somebody else was to be brought in.
Yeah, so basically Wednesday they can register up to 25 people. That doesn't include under 21s unless those under 21s are on loan. So James Beadle falls into that. Basically everyone else over 21 also falls into that 25-man list. Once the 25 are registered, you can't change that. So that was why Memo Diaby was left out for so long and never brought back in. So Wednesday have got they've got 27 players over the age of 23 or who have to be registered. So that includes Kieran Brennan, who has not really played much. It includes James Beadle. We thought they'd probably leave a couple out. We were thinking maybe Wendell Gardo because he's got a long-term injury. Obviously, no thoughts really that Kieran Brennan was going to get into the squad. So we thought that'd be the two. And then we thought they might leave another one out that would leave him space for a free agent, you know, potentially Lee Gregory, given how little he's played, how out of favour he is. But it was interesting talking to Danny last night. Basically, he didn't give any names, but they've left a few out. So there are a few first-team players that they have left out of the squad. We might be looking at Callum Patterson with his injury that he's had. We might now be looking at Josh Windass with the injury he's had that he's picked up. We will find out at some point soon because the league will publish it, I think, within 7 days of the window closing. So that should be in the next few days. We should hear that. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see who has made the cut. Some tough decisions to make for Danny. And if he's looking for multiple free agents as well, then that, that throws up all sorts of questions. So we'll cover that when the list is made known. But Danny has certainly left space open. They've got, I haven't checked recently, Alex, but they've got, I think, a month and a bit before the actual registration window closes. I think that's sometime in March. So they've got, you know, there is a cut-off point for free agents as well. Wednesday have just got to see whether it's worth it. You know, talk about getting people up to speed. Christian Pedersen effectively signed as a free agent, given how little he's played in recent months. He's not been playing much football either. So they'll assess it. But Darren Moore spoke a lot about that, you know, on what it meant to sign free agents and the difficulties with signing free agents at this point in the season. So I think Danny will only go with what he thinks is right. I mean, he said he's very confident in his team. He said the commitment to the cause has been great. And we'll just have to wait and see now. But yeah, the fact that he's left a few spaces open, I think, creates questions not only over who they are, but why they've been left out as well. It's going to be, like I say, very interesting to see that list when we do see it.
I think it's worth saying at this point as well that, you know, there were opportunities to move players out in January and they weren't taken. You know, our understanding is that Danny and the players in question were very agreeable to getting those players, you know, moved on to other clubs, whether it be permanent or loan, and deals couldn't be reached for reason. You know, we've got some sources, you know, describing some of the demands as excessive or unrealistic and that sort of thing. So we're back to where we were in the summer, really, with Marvin Johnson. Through luck rather than judgment, obviously the Marvin Johnson thing ended up, you know, coming around and being a positive thing. But if players are going to be left out and stay out, they're going to be paid by the club. Raises big questions. But we'll see who's left out and how things are done.
Having not criticised Chancery earlier or trying to help him out a little bit, that is the one thing that we can say.
It's absolute madness.
It is. And that has been his weak point for years now. That sometimes you just have to cut your losses. I mean, he should know all about losses by now. He's been running the football club for long enough. He knows that sometimes you just have to take a hit. And it's not really taking a hit. They've got their money's worth out of players like Lee Gregory. And, you know, Lee Gregory won't be on a huge amount of money. He did what they wanted him to do. And they just let him go.
The Lee Gregory one in particular is quite, I think, quite galling, really. You know, he's a...
It's because we spoke to Danny a couple of weeks ago. Who was it? It was the Coventry match. And even just before that, Danny was saying he doesn't want players just being around who aren't going to be playing because it's not fair on them. And he was very, you know, he seemed very open about that point. I think he said you have to be human or something like that, wasn't it? Was that the exact quote?
Yeah.
It's basically really unfair on the player themselves.
I just think, you know, I think Lee deserves better. You know, he's through no fault of his own. You know, Danny said his application's been great, his attitude's been great. It's not like he's sort of spat his dummy out and he's not playing because of that. Lee Gregory, by what we understand, is not going to play much football for Sheffield Wednesday, if any football for Sheffield Wednesday between now and the end of the season. If his name is one of the names left off that list, if Wednesday had got £5 of his wages, it's £5 saved every single week that Wednesday don't have to pay. Do you know what I mean? Like, it would have just made sense to let the player go. It's not about favours. It's not about, oh, well, it looks weak if we let him go. It's saving money on a player that is not going to play a part. And talk about that human side of things. Lee Gregory is 35 years old. He's put in hard yards in football. He's done his stints in various different places. He's probably at a point now where he will see, you know, the twilight of his career, and he will not want to be sat in the stands, not even getting on the bench to get to games. He'll want to make as much of it as he can of this period in his career. I just think it's a real shame, especially given sort of the role that Lee's played in the last couple of seasons at Wednesday as well.
Another sort of side to this, sorry to jump in, but you know, it comes at a time where it's quite abundantly clear that the contributions that the fans are making financially in terms of season tickets and that sort of thing is important to the running of the club. So it's just wasted money. If Lee Gregory is left off, and we are speculating to a degree, is left off the squad list, and X thousands of pounds are going to his bank account every week to train at Middlewood Road, while the fans are being asked to help the running of the club in their financial contribution, that is, it's just beggar's belief, absolute beggar's belief. And I think if and when that comes around, that there will be serious questions asked. And it's difficult because, you know, Danny and Lee wanted the deal to happen as far as we can understand. It shouldn't be down to Lee Gregory on what is probably his last decent contract of his career to rip it up for the last 3 months. I wouldn't do it. You wouldn't do it. There's no other profession in the world where you would you would turn around and go rip that up and go on a League Two wage in the last 3 months of your last big contract. There's no other profession in the world that anyone would even be asked to do that. I can feel myself getting riled up just having this discussion because it's.
Well, you're absolutely right. Yeah, people are having to put their hands in their pockets. A lot of money to pay for season tickets, and yet the financial management of the club is absolutely shambolic when it comes to things like this. And you can talk about pride, as Joe says, all you want. That it feels like that's what it comes down to, because I think we had it a few years ago. It was kind of put to us that the feeling that the owner has is that, why should I be paying money for somebody to be at another club? That's okay. And in your head, and in any other business, maybe that makes sense, that does. But also, it makes a lot more sense for them to be paying some of the money rather than you paying all of it when he's not going to be doing absolutely anything for the club. And it is absolutely scandalous and, frankly, stupid. Anyway, we will just wrap things up. We've gone over a little bit. We'll just wrap things up very quickly. Alex, Birmingham City on Friday night is absolutely huge. They have come into a bit of form, as we kind of expected when Tony Mowbray came in. He was tightening things up a little bit, making it a bit harder to beat, which is what has happened. They have lost a couple recently, but one of those was in a cup against Leicester and one of them against West Brom, who are obviously a very good team. But they are going to come to Hillsborough in good spirits and confident that they can get a win. How will Wednesday be feeling?
That's the question, isn't it? I think in the press conference last night, look, let's have it right. Danny's been downbeat, you know, and he's not one to hide what he's feeling. But I think the one telling thing, Joe, I don't know what you think, was sort of his, when we turned towards the Birmingham game, it was sort of his attempt at a rallying cry, if you like. Sort of in the question, we sort of alluded to, you know, the fact that Wednesday has the atmosphere at Hillsborough can make a difference in big games. And I think sought to sort of tap into that and demand, not demanded. He said it was up to everyone. He won't make demands of fans in the same way they will his players, for obvious reasons. But almost challenged the fans to sort of bring the noise and do it. So if you're watching this and you are going to the game on Friday, there will be an article in the Star, but that's the challenge that's been laid down to you from the horse's mouth, from the manager, through us, to you, to sort of, despite the miserable nature of the last the last week, bring the noise and let's just see where it sort of leaves Sheffield Wednesday going into the weekend.
I like Alex's optimism there of the misery of the last week. It feels like it's been a lot longer.
last week feels like a month.
How do you see things going Friday night?
I honestly don't know. I spoke earlier about my sort of concerns for the effect that the Huddersfield game had on the players, and I think how they respond to that is obviously key. Wednesday they need to get something here. I suppose the saving grace is the fact that Huddersfield have got Southampton this weekend. So worst case scenario, it stays the same, you would think, because I don't see a world in which Southampton, you know, drop points against Huddersfield, because they're very, very good. But it's also, because of that, it's a massive opportunity for Wednesday to claw some of that gap back at the first available opportunity. And if they can do that, then it can give a massive boost. It's like a double whammy, isn't it? You've got the win itself, but the clawing back of points on those above them. So it's a huge game. And look, it shouldn't need any motivation, you know, but you would have said the same thing about the Huddersfield game and we saw what happened there. I think we'll know in the first 10, 15 minutes of that game how that thing's going to play out. We'll see how they come out of the blocks. One of the big things Danny spoke about last night was how the running stats had dropped off and how even when they were losing, they were still running more than the opponents. And that was not the case at all against Huddersfield. I think he said, didn't he say there were 7Ks down?
7K, something like that.
Yeah, it's a lot. And I think that was one of the main things that made his decision on to the fact he rested practically everybody. Because it's literally a rest. They need a break in order to play the way he wants to play. And like I say, we'll have to see on Friday whether that's worked out or not. It's tough because Wednesday are in a very unenviable situation now. The manager saw some of the frustrations from players yesterday after the game. There was sort of some gesticulations and stuff from certain players that they weren't happy with what was going on. And yeah, I think we'll see in the first 10, 15 minutes how Wednesday are able to cope with it. And I do think if they can get the first goal, then they've got a real good chance of going on and sorting it. But you have to worry that if they don't get the first goal, we see another Wednesday capitulation. And, you know, if that happens at home, it's bad enough away. If it happens at home, that crowd that we're speaking about can turn very, very quickly.
Thanks a lot, lads. That is us for this week. We'll be back again next week. Stay with thestar.co.uk for all the latest from Sheffield Wednesday. Ahead of that huge game on Friday night, there will be a press conference tomorrow, I suspect, where we'll get a little bit more from Danny Rowe. So come to the Star for all the latest on that and reports and opinion and ratings and all those things on Friday evening and across the weekend. Thanks to Alex. He can head back up north after his beautiful overnight stay in Coventry. Thanks to Joe, who is now off on an assault course, I think. And we will see you all next week for the next edition of Everywhere and Nowhere. Thanks a lot.